make a big noise playing in the street. Gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place. Singing, we will rock you.
It is Sunday. Everybody, welcome to In the Sports Booth. This is Moises Linares along with Victor Corona. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
Talking about, we have a lot of things to talk about today. Let me just tell you that much. Today we have a full agenda of sports, and let's start with the Olympics. Have you been watching what's going on?
I've been hearing, I've been listening, I've been watching. It's been great. It's been good to see what's been going on, especially today.
Tweeting, Facebook, there's no way you're not informed nowadays. If you don't want to know, simply tune out. You know, you have to really hide nowadays to hide from anything that's going on. You know, the Usain Bolt mania.
Yeah, and on Twitter, especially right now. I mean, even if you miss anything, you know, they're putting out the spoiler alert stuff, but it still doesn't work because you're going to get it on Twitter.
That does not work. Let me tell you that. There's no, anything you see nowadays, you already know the score, unless you're watching it live, which is probably the best way to really enjoy it. Because now, at least for the United States, you're watching, but knowing who won, you simply want to see how it happened.
Exactly.
So let's just get started and kick off with the most important news of today, which was Usain Bolt breaking another record, the 100 meters, the defending champ, with a 9.63 in a 100-meter race where it started 60 meters, you had everybody, the top four, going head-to-head. But after that 60-meter mark, he just took off like a bolt.
Incredible. I mean, that guy has become... What can we call him besides... I mean, I know his name is Bolt, but...
You know what? I've thought about that a lot. I do not know what to call that guy anymore. Lightning, speed of light.
I don't know. He's incredible. Watching him last time in Beijing, I was amazed. You know, he took that little, once he saw that he was far ahead, he took it easy at the end. This time he just said, you know what, I'm going to run it on through and I'm going to make sure I get that other record.
He's had a lot of doubters. A lot of people have been doubting the fact that he could do it again. And today he proved that he's number one for a reason, breaking records and especially doing it against the best runners in the planet in the same race. We had the four best runners in sprint history up to now. Well, not in history. Well, the fastest up to this point. Four of the fastest men. We had his partner, Johan Blake, who won the silver. Justin Gatlin, who took the bronze. And Tyson Gay, who simply disappointed. I'm really disappointed. I thought that Gay was going to do a little bit more than that.
I think coming in, we kind of expected the Jamaican trio. I think you can also add Powell in there to do well. And the U.S., we kind of knew what we were going to get from them. We just wanted somebody to be in the top three, and I think we got that. Tyson Gay has been on the scene for a while now, but you can't take anything away from what Usain Bolt did today. He's been getting criticized for some of the stuff. He hasn't been training the way he should have. And so he's been getting criticized for that.
It
and
comes
then
with
he
the
even
territory.
Got beat in the world championship.
Last week we talked about Michael Phelps. We had a similar view on the fact that the hype was getting to him. We were questioning, is this the end? Is Michael Phelps done? We were all wondering. We didn't have an answer. It seemed that way for a race. But then, you know, he simply took off. We'll talk about Michael Phelps in a little bit. But the fact that Usain Bolt is doing things that no man has ever done. You know, he's being compared to Cassius Clay. Not only a great superstar, but also an entertainer.
I think because he's from Jamaica, we won't get that. You know, he's not a U.S. Athlete, but he should be up there. I bet you that if you go to Europe, he's big out there. And then the fact that he's a, you know, we only see him once in a while. He's only there for, what is it, less than 10 seconds. So that's what
depending
I think that
what he's running, depending
him.
What it's running, what race he's in.
Right.
100 exactly. meters right now, it's less than 10 seconds.
Right.
And going down. I wonder if we're ever going to get it to 8. That's one of the things that many of us are asking because some of these records are just being shattered completely.
Yeah, and I remember when it was, 10 seconds? Now before we know, it's going to be 9.5. It's going to be 9. It's going to happen. Some guy is going to come along and he's going to get it under.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Especially the way guys are built now. You know, the things they're taking, not anything legal, but still. Bodies are way different now than they were 50 years ago. Times were slower. The times, you know, that people were putting up were way slower then than they are now.
Yeah, and they're taking better care of their body, too. I mean, look at all the stuff. I mean, there's so much stuff now. And that's why, I know we get into the whole, you know, argument about who's the greatest and all that, you know. But these athletes now, you know, they're trained at the highest level and they have so much.
By
that,
the best?
Yeah.
The thing about Usain Bolt is the fact that you don't only have Jamaicans rooting for Usain Bolt. You have people from all over the world cheering this guy on. And it's kind of crazy because when you think about the Olympics, you start thinking the fact that you're trying to support your country. But in the last few Olympics, we have people rooting for the underdog.
And I think, too, it's entertainment. We want that entertainment. We want somebody to be, you know, entertain us. And he's done a great job of it. And I think that's why, even though it's for, like I said, again, I know it sounds kind of like a joke, but for 9 seconds, you know, he's done a great job. He knows what it is to be an entertainment and at the same time be an Olympian. And so he's done a great job with that.
We also had Sanya Richards-Ross, an American who won the 400 meter. She defeated the actual champion, which is the British. She defeated the competition in a race that was completely fast. You know, when you think about women nowadays, they're almost right there hand in hand with the men.
Right, and it's good to see that. I mean, I think especially in the Olympics, it's become, you know, a lot of the viewership that you get, and part of the reason that NBC has decided to tape delayed is because they know who their viewers are. They know that it's moms, it's, you know, your sister and stuff like that. It's women, the ones that are watching the Olympics. And why is that? Because they're the ones that want to know about those stories. They want to know what's going on with this person. And I think she's a great story. And so that's why I think a lot of people are interested in what the women are doing, you know, especially in the Olympics.
Yeah, Richards-Ross, she defeated Christine Ohorogu from Great Britain, who was the actual champion. And she was highly criticized because she hasn't been competing a lot in the actual races, because you have to remember the fact that you're not only, when you're in a racer in a lot of these sports that you don't see every day, they do have other competitions. They have a world tournament for swimmers. They have a world tournament for track and field. And they don't really get a lot of publicity or media attention like they should. But yeah, the Olympic stage is the biggest stage for them. This is where they get the opportunity to shine and show the world who they are. And this is why the Olympics are so important. And obviously, we only have them every 4 years. So they need to make the best.
I think one of the things that we keep missing on, especially with the Olympics, is that we don't get to see them here because, you know, we have baseball and we have football. So we have other sports. But in Europe and in Asia, I mean, you know, track and field is big. I mean, it's huge.
Yes, it
you
is.
Know? So, I mean, we're barely getting a little taste of it.
It's a sport that keeps growing.
Exactly.
I was listening in today. I was watching the Olympics. And one of the things was that a lot of the pro athletes who have retired are very happy that Great Britain is doing so well, because it's good for the sport. You need countries like Great Britain, big countries, to perform well so the sport could grow. Another one, but at the same time, you want the underdog to win, and that's the case with Eric Barrondo from Guatemala, who won the 20K walk, and he took the silver. Well, he didn't win. He took the silver, which is a victory for a country that had never won a medal in their history.
And that's big. I mean, for a country like Guatemala to have something like that. I know I was going on Twitter too and Facebook, and a lot of my friends, you know, Central Americans were putting up the picture, and I was watching some of the news, and it's great. I mean, look at what the Olympics do for small countries like that don't get the recognition.
I agree with that. Yes.
And so, you know,
11 seconds behind first place, which was a world record, by the way. But the fact that you're up there in the podium representing your country means a lot for these people.
Yeah, and I remember, you know, I sometimes watch those little bits of pieces where before you get started on the Olympics, and they talk about, you know, different athletes who've done something great. And I was watching this cyclist from Mexico. They were doing a little piece on him. And you know, you get that little... they do well. They might not get a gold, you know, they might get a bronze, but it's still big for the country because it brings recognition. And I think that's the main thing. If you bring recognition to a country that really needs it, it's big for everybody.
It, you know, it actually gives you unites pride. A country. Yeah, it does. You have a not only Guatemala, but you have the countries around Guatemala supporting this athlete, supporting the fact that this athlete is doing big things never done before by a country so small, which it kind of, you know, empowers them to say, you know, we're here as well. We're here to compete. And it is the Olympics where anything could happen. And we've seen that a lot. We had Mo Farah from Great Britain who won the gold in the 10,000 meter race. But the interesting story about that race was the fact that he was running with his partner, Galen Rupp, who represents the United States. And these two guys train together every day. They're trained by the same coach. They both train in Portland, Oregon, which is, you know, it's a very crazy story when you see the fact that these two guys started the race. If you didn't know who they were, you saw them running side by side, something they do every day for a moment like this. This is the moment they've trained for, and it finally gets here, and they finish 1 and 2.
Right, I was thinking about that when I was reading about the story you just told us, and I was thinking, you know, it would be like if you have a jogging partner, you know, that you go to every day to run, and you know, then you're in a competition and you see him riding, you know, running right along you, and you're like, hey, good to see you again, you know. So
yeah, no,
and then you get there, and one of the things that I thought it was pretty cool, you know, that we're celebrating together. You know,
they
usually
did.
You're supposed to go and be with your team and stuff, but you know, they're actually a team.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. So. It's funny because they represent different countries, and usually when you have track and field athletes celebrate, they usually go to their teammates, which usually most of the time they represent the same country. But in this case, is you had a U.S. athlete and a U.K. athlete, and once Mo Farah finishes the race, he turns around and he looks his partner, the guy who he trains with every day, and they just embrace each other in what will be probably one of the most memorable moments in Olympic history, because my heart was beating so hard. I didn't know what was going on. I had a high blood pressure. Something was happening, and I was excited. I was thrilled to see Mo Farah pump the crowd before the race and after the race. You know, he goes and he goes and he does his Olympic lap, and he's greeting everybody, just excited to say, you know, I'm the champion, and it, you know, all that training, all that effort. And he was the first one in 100 years for Great Britain, I believe, and the same thing for Galen
Rupp. For the US, yeah. And I mean, it just goes back to the point that we've been making today about the Olympics. This is what's great about it, is that, you know, we only get to see it, you know, every 4 years. But the stories, you know, they stick with you, you know. And now, you know, even talking about the guy from Guatemala, you know, now he can go to his country and he's gonna be, you know, although he only won the silver, he's a patriot there for them, you know. He's gonna carry that.
They're gonna have a national holiday like Honduras did.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that later today. But if you don't know, and if you just tuned in, you are listening to www.skirollstudios.com. If you want to call in, the number is 1-800-893-9562. Once again, that's 1-800-893-9562. If you want to talk about the Olympics, if you want to give us your comment or your view or observation, you're more than welcome to. We're here talking sports with Victor Corona.
Yeah, let's talk about tennis. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we saw Andy Murray.
Great,
you know,
win.
The pride of England.
Great win.
You know, finally make it to a Wimbledon final. And then, you know.
He had the same problem that he's been having for several seasons in tennis, I would say. The fact that he couldn't close the deal. And he was highly criticized because he was that guy that a country like England had high expectations. And he comes to the biggest stage and he just simply couldn't close it. It's like saying Roger Federer is number one or Rafael Nadal is number one, and you're always going to be two or three. You're always going to compete for two or three because you can't take that big step. And like you said a month ago, these two guys faced each other. And let me tell you, it was the third time they were meeting in a final, and Roger Federer simply too good.
Yeah, and he's owned Wimbledon. I mean, I know Andy Murray is from England, and you know he's got a chance to train at Wimbledon. But we can say that that's Federer's home now, because he's won a bunch of Wimbledons there. But with Andy Murray, it's been a struggle. You know, the way I look at it, it's like looking at Charles Barkley and Patrick Ewing back in the days, and looking at Michael and being like, are you going to let me win one at least, you know?
Oh, so, it didn't happen with Michael. He said, no, you're not. Not while I'm here. It's not going to happen. The thing about Andy Murray is the fact that you start, what does that do to your, what does that do to you psychologically? What effect does it have on you? Do you say, I'm never going to be able to beat them? Is this it? You know, do I have to settle for number two or number three? Or do I keep trying? After losing three times, I would think, man, I'm never going to beat these guys.
And yeah, and just looking at a Grand Slam, I mean, am I ever going to win a Grand Slam? You know, especially with Federer, and then Nadal comes along, and you're like, okay, now it's not just one, it's two now, you know?
And you forgot the Djokovic.
Right, and so now
you have these guys, like, I had to settle for number three, number four, because these guys are just going, they're walking over me every time I face them, so... It becomes psychologically a beating to the brain to know that you can't, you know, take that last hurdle. Can you jump it? Can you take that extra step, the last step you need to become a champion? So we take a look at that, and you know, the amazing thing is that home crowd support, you know, it takes a toll on anybody.
Yeah, and it was great to see, I mean, come out on top. I mean, he beat him in straight sets with 6-2, 6-1, 6-4. And to win a gold medal, and that was one of the questions that I wanted to ask you. I mean, if we look at it, what would he rather have? Would he have rather have a Grand Slam title, which he hasn't had, or a gold medal?
I would personally say gold medal, just because he won it, one, and two, because it has a lot more meaning, because Wimbledon is a tournament you could play every year. The Olympics are a tournament you only have a chance once every 4 years. And the fact that he did it in front of his home crowd, cheering him on. Obviously, he was the home guy in Wimbledon, but it had a different significance. You know, you had two of the greatest players facing each other, and obviously, Roger Federer has a lot of followers, a lot of fans. But now, you know, the Great Britain is supporting every athlete. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what sport you play. They're going to be behind you because they want you to win. And he did it. He finally did it. And the way he did it is the amazing part, because now. He not only takes that big win over Federer, you know, he's also become the favorite to win the U.S. Open. So that says a lot, you know. It looks like he finally took that last step, and now he's ready to just explode and say, you know what, I'm going to be aggressive, I'm going to come out, I'm going to take names, and I'm going to be the man from now on. And basically, rumors are saying that he could be number one by the end of the year.
Yeah, and one of the things that is great about it, too, I mean, going off your point, is the fact that you get to sit up receive your gold medal, and they're playing the national anthem. And to have that gold medal, you know, in front of your crowd.
We've seen athletes cry time after time in this Olympics, and it just gets to you, because the fact that you're representing a whole nation and people are screaming your name, even when you come out in second or third, you know, they're there behind you. It doesn't happen every time. You only have this opportunity once in your life, and some people are never going to have it.
All right, so moving on, we're going to talk about
Before we move on, let me just tell you, Serena Williams, gold medal.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, see, can't forget about
Serena. Yeah, we can't forget about her. Gold medal, Sharapova, not even a chance. She took her in two sets, 6-0, 6-1. They're saying it might be one of the fastest matches in Olympic history for the sport of tennis.
And
it says a lot about Serena.
Right. And Serena, you know, she took about a year off. She had I think she cut her foot. And she had some back problems there. And she's never, one of the biggest criticisms with her has been that she hasn't put all her attention to tennis. It's always been something.
Drake.
Yeah, it's been something else. You know,
her and her sister have either
been into fashion or doing other things, and that's great, you know. But I think you want, especially since, you know, you're among the greatest of all time, you expect more from them. And so to see Serena back again, you know, just winning in Wimbledon. So she was right where she needed to be. So it's good to see her.
She's a great athlete, and we must admit that by the time she's done, she's going to be one of the greatest athletes we've ever seen. And, you know, we have to embrace that moment. We have to let that soak in and enjoy it, because you don't get to see these athletes every day, which moves us to our next guy. Our big discussion, we talked about this off the air, is Michael Phelps the greatest Olympian in Olympic history?
Well, for me, he's not. I mean, I know, you know, it might seem like I'm picking on the guy, but... he's had the top three, you know, medals of all time. He's He had what, six in 2004. He had eight in 2008, and I think he had like six or seven in these Olympics. So he has that. But for me, it has to be, you know, number one, Jesse Owens. He won four gold medals in Germany in Berlin, and he did it in front of Hitler. So I mean, for me, that he's the greatest Olympian. And then number two, Carl Lewis. He won 9 of 10 gold medals in 84, I believe. So
medal-wise, Jesse Owens represents more. He represents something aside from gold medals. He represents a struggle. He represents the African American community, the civil rights movement, and that makes him one of the greatest we've ever seen. Because to go to a country where people who were not of German blood were hated, killed, annihilated by Hitler, you know, and go there and win four gold medals, you know, means a stamp in history. You know, he left that legacy. He only participated in one Olympics, but yet again, he did it in the best fashion you could possibly do, in winning everything.
Yeah, and the impact he made on everybody. I mean, that's why it's number one. I think if we go off of medals, Michael Phelps, you can't take that away from him. The other thing we need to keep in mind.
22 medals.
Yeah, the other thing that we have to keep in mind is the fact that he was able to compete in eight events. I mean, some athletes don't even get to compete in more than four. So
you're right.
You know, and then plus,
because more than four are not available in their sport, their respective sport. But the fact that he can compete in more than four events because he's so skilled also says a lot. The guy had the talent to compete in eight events and to take that. And obviously, we also have to look at the toll it takes, because sometimes it was a race 30 minutes after he had another race and he was able to finish opponents. And obviously 22, 18 gold, 2 silver, 2 bronze. He's left a stamp in sports history. And even though swimming is not seen as one of the best sports in the Olympics, it has grown a lot. It keeps growing. And Michael Phelps will be in the top. I wouldn't be able to say if he's going to be number one or number two, but I would definitely put him in the top three of all time, just because of the fact that he has 22 medals. And if he wanted to come back, he possibly could, but he's going to retire. He decided to call it an end, and he's going to end his career, his Olympic career, the best way possible on top with a gold medal.
Yeah, and you know, swimming is not easy. It takes a toll on you. So,
I would drown.
I would drown. Yeah, so it's a tough sport, you know, not to take anything away from him. What he's done is amazing. And, you know, to do it for three Olympics since he was a teenager now, you got to give the guy credit. You know, I'm just going off of, you know, some of the people that I've talked to and just looking at history and just giving props to guys like Jesse Owens and Carl Lewis, who, you know, to me, you know, represent, you know, a change of the Olympics.
So we can agree that he's probably not the best, or he's not the ultimate number one, but he's definitely going to be in the top three.
He has the argument. I mean,
some people will say he is number one. Right. I will put him in top three of all time. I'm not going to dare say he's number one, because that's a tough call right there. So I'll put him top three of all time. And obviously very privileged to have seen him swim and make history.
And you said it right there, you know, the fact that we got the chance to see it, you know, now we can tell people, you know, tell our kids, our grandkids, you know, hey, we got to see Michael Phelps win all those medals. And so that's what's great about him.
But we also have other athletes swimming doing history. We have a generation after Phelps who are ready to take over and, you know, lead the U.S. into glory for the future Olympics. Ryan Lochte, obviously, it was supposed to be his Olympics, according to many experts, but he didn't perform as well as Michael Phelps, because performing against Michael Phelps is a tough thing to do already.
Yeah, and it's been a tough goal for him. You know, I expected more from him. I thought he was going to be that challenge. We need that. You know, we need...
He did beat him in their head-to-head in the first match. I remember we talked about that last week.
Right.
It was a 400-meter. He took the gold in that. Michael Phelps, he finished fourth, 4 seconds behind. But obviously, now we have to look forward. And we have the women's who are also swimming great. Schmidt, we have Franklin, we have this girl Katie who's 15 years old and she won a gold medal. That's incredible. Faith, what were you doing when you were 15 years old?
I don't remember. I think I was poking my nose or something.
I was playing soccer in the alleys. But 15 years old and you're winning a gold medal. Wow.
Yeah, and Missy Incredible. Franklin. Have you heard the story about Missy Franklin? She's like 6'4" or something.
I've seen her on TV.
Yeah, she looks enormous. Great. Yeah, she's great. I mean, one of the feature stories that they did on her, it was great, you know, to see how she's back in high school and, you know, she doesn't think, you know, she's all that. You know, she goes and spends time with all her friends. So that they're great stories, you know, that from the Olympics.
It's a great thing to see this sport growing. Obviously, it's one of the biggest sports in the Olympic scene. Every Olympics, we pay a lot of attention to it because it's not an easy thing to do. And, you know, we're going to have to wait and see what's going to happen. Is Phelps going to retire? Is he really going to retire? Because nowadays, retiring is a 2-month thing. Right. You retire and you come back. We see it with athletes in every sport. Boxers do it all the time. I'm retiring. They retire for 6 months, and then they're right back in it.
Yeah, if I'm him, I do it. I mean, what are you coming back for? There's nothing to come back for.
Money.
I mean, what are you going to win another
a lot
five
of money.
More minutes? Yeah, he's said. I mean... There, you know, the money's going to be there. He can go wherever he wants now. He can do whatever he wants.
If they offer you a great pocket? Would you reject it if you were him? They offer you a lucrative offer to keep swimming. Would you really not think about it? Would you say, you know what, I'm done?
I mean, if there was like some kind of a swimming, you know, league or something, you know, where they were
Well, have the world tournament. They have their world competitions, and endorsements are ridiculous nowadays.
I think he's set with our endorsements. Look at the Bruce Jenner. I mean, the guy hasn't swam in more than 30. He hasn't competed in a sport in more than 30 years, and the guy's on TV with the Kardashians. So, I mean. Those guys are gonna still be, you know, recognizable. Well, hopefully, I don't see Michael Phelps on a reality show, but you know,
I hope that never happens. So that would be terrible for any sport.
Right.
I think I've had enough of the Kardashians. I do not want to see that. I don't even want to talk about that.
Right, let's move on.
We're gonna keep talking about. We have a lot to talk about today. We have soccer.
Right.
We have the NFL, which is taking off today, preseason. We have some basketball. We have quite a few things to talk about today, and we're gonna take a break, and when we're back, we're gonna get into it, and we're gonna discuss all the things we have, and hopefully we have enough time to talk about all this.
You are listening to Skid Row Studios.
I'm not doing it with you.
Please do it with me.
Fuck that.
Can you please have sex with me?
At Skid Row Studios?
At Skid Row Studios.
Maybe.
Okay. Tune into The Love Bite, where all your kinky desires come true. Sundays, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time at SkidRowStudios.com.
Some new music, tune into Piñata Hour every Wednesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time on SkidRowStudios.com.
We are back. This is www.skidrowstudios.com. If you want to call us, the number is 1-800-893-9562. And we're going to keep talking about the Olympics, but we're going to move on to another sport, which is soccer, a sport that has the world's attention. Obviously, a lot of people in the United States don't care as much. The women are doing great. The men are also, the men didn't qualify, but the men's sport is doing questionable things because we have a lot of people questioning the fact that Spain didn't make it. We talked about that last week. They're out. Brazil almost didn't make it. Honduras almost surprised another great one. And it went 1-0, 1-1, 2-1, 2-2. Some shaky calls. A lot of people were criticizing the fact that the ref made some very questionable calls, but that's how the sport goes sometimes. And sometimes you need a little bit of luck. And Brazil had that luck. They finished Honduras, who ended the match with 9 men in a 3-2 game. And now they're going to move forward to face Korea in the semifinal.
Yeah, and the soccer end has been crazy. I mean, you know, to see that for the first time in history, we don't have a European team in the semifinals. I mean, and then to see
you know, two Asian countries.
Yeah, we saw England get losing penalty kicks again. What
Great
is going
Britain,
on
Great
with
Britain.
Penalty kicks?
Well, this
in
time
England.
They're Great Britain, but Great Britain. Obviously they're representing the same thing.
Right.
They couldn't finish. They do have some kind of bad luck with penalty kicks. And the thing about this penalty shootout was the fact that they went 10 penalty kicks. One guy missed, Sturridge. He missed his PK, and that was the factor right there. And now Great Britain has to go home. They lost in their, they lost at home in front of their home crowd. Korea, you got to give it up to them. Representing Asia, doing big things. That continent keeps growing. They keep advancing further and further and further. Remember, Korea is the country, the only Asian country to reach a World Cup semifinal when they hosted at home in 2002.
And what I mean, how much has Asian grown then? I mean, what is this, like in 20 years? How far are we looking at?
Now? This is happening now. They keep moving further and further, and they're not afraid to take it to anybody. And we saw that when Japan faced Spain. Japan was not afraid to take it to Spain, and it was the only match where Spain was truly outplayed. Because we can make a different case for Spain against Honduras, where Honduras was a little bit more defensive. But once they faced Spain, once Japan faced Spain, Japan dominated that match. They schooled one of the greatest teams in the world now, even though it's a U23 team. They showed that they could play with the top countries in the world. And now they're going to have a chance to pass to the finals if they're able to get through Mexico, who is going to be a tough cookie to swallow.
And let's talk about Mexico and that Senegal game. What were your thoughts on that? That was a hell of a game.
It started off pretty even. The thing about the African countries is the fact that they always commit silly mistakes that cost them the match. And I was actually online. I was watching the game and following the tweets, following the Facebook to see what people were saying. And I saw a lot of Mexican fans actually give up on their team before the match was over. As soon as they saw overtime, they thought, okay, we've been here before, it's done, we're gonna lose. If this goes to PKs, we have a curse as well, just like
right.
Great Britain and England.
They started thinking like the Great Britain fans.
Some
right?
people were tuning out, and I was amazed because the fact that Mexico's representing CONCACAF, I support them. I'm gonna support them. I hope they do well, and they've reached the semifinal for the first time since 1968 when they were the host country. Which is it's a great thing for Mexico. We have to look at the fact that they know how to come back. They know how to play from behind. They went ahead on the scoreboard, but when Senegal had the opportunity to put them out, that's when Mexico was dangerous. They capitalized on two crucial mistakes, and when you have players like Giovanni Dos Santos, who could finish you off, if you give him the ball and the opportunity, he's going to take it, he's going to score. That's what he did. He's been one of the best players in this tournament for Mexico. He's been the guy who's been scoring goals, and that's what they needed.
And I want to go back to that Brazil-Honduras. We have to give credit to Honduras. Tell me about Honduras and what this does for a country like Honduras to get to this point. I know they didn't, you know, they got out to the lead and, you know, and then they lost a player. But talk about...
They left to the Olympics being very questioned. Are they going to be able to perform? There's no goals on top. Nobody's able to score. What's going to happen? Are we going to be embarrassed again? Because last Olympics, they didn't score a goal. Now, they left and they come back as national heroes. They arrive actually today. Tonight, they arrive in Honduras and the press is already waiting. Fans, they're expecting a few thousand to wait for them because they actually put the name of Honduras very high. They performed. They played well. They played to their style. Let's not confuse the fact that they defend. They don't defend 100%. They're a defensive team that knows how to attack with numbers on top. And that's what they did against Spain. Before we move on, and on this topic, we have a caller. Let me see who's the lucky guy. Hello, you're on there?
Yo, what up?
It's the one, it's the only, our NBA football expert, Mr. Ruben Arias. How you doing, sir?
I'm all right. I wish the show was like Mad Time Radio. That'd be better. They talk about the UFC and stuff, though.
We're actually talking about soccer and some of the things that Honduras was able to do in this tournament and the fact that the sport has grown a little bit where the competition is a little bit more equaled across. No respect for the big teams, and Honduras proved that by taking it to Brazil, going on top twice. What are your thoughts on that, Ruben?
Whatever. You guys watched the UFC yesterday?
Did we? Yeah, we watched it. Well, yeah.
Give us your thoughts.
I think one of those guys can take down the Honduras team, no problem.
UFC,
radio time, dude. You got to roll with the punches.
UFC and soccer are two different things.
Yeah, we're talking soccer right now. Well, let's finish up here with soccer, and then we'll move on and we'll ask a couple of questions to Ruben. Just finishing off what you were talking about. So we have our Final Four set. What do you see going on from here, Moises?
I think that Mexico has a big opportunity to advance. I think Mexico has that chance to make history for the first time. They're going to be able to fight for a medal, and why not a gold? And it might be against Brazil, who I see. After what they showed against Honduras, Mexico has an opportunity to take it to Brazil or any other team. We have to wait and see because you have to play the games in the field. Let's hope for the best. I'm rooting for Brazil and I'm rooting for Mexico. I would like to see that final and let the best team win. Moving on, let's talk a little bit about baseball.
Talking about baseball right now, it's heating up. We just got through the trading deadline, and now we started the waiver wire thing. It was great to see the Dodgers get some players. Like, they missed out on Debser, but to see them get Shane Victorino and Lee and a couple of other players. So right now they're just a half a game out. We have the Angels, who are still battling. They had a chance to get back in their division. They're about five games now out, and that loss they had against the third game against Texas was a killer.
I think it was a perfect opportunity for the Angels to cut that lead. They've spent so much money to compete and to be in the playoffs this season, and it's not happening for some. Could you explain to me what's going on with the Angels?
The biggest problem they've had this year is that start at the beginning of the year. They began the season 7-14, which set them back. They fell behind like 9 or 10 games against the Rangers, and that just did them in. And they had the perfect opportunity. They went out and they got Greinke. They got before the trading deadline, and so a couple of days ago they had a chance to cut into that lead. They won the first two games against Texas, and then in that third game they had the lead and they just blew it. They blew it like three or four. They blew the lead like three or four times, and then they just got all slug. And then they start the next series against Chicago, and they get beat there too on a controversial call, which Mike Socha protested the game. But that's not gonna get. You never get a game overturned on calls like that. So then they've come back. But it they're going to make the playoffs. The thing is,
they're going to make it?
Yeah, they'll make the playoffs. The biggest thing with them is that, they're going to make it as a wild card. And,
yeah.
And the problem with the wild card this year, with the new wild card is the fact that
you have to play an extra game.
You have to play, and it's just a one game thing. So you could be out, and you don't want to take that chance.
If they don't make the playoffs, would you consider it a failure?
Of course. Look at all the money that they put into that team. You go out and you sign Pujols and you sign Wilson, and then you go and you trade some of your top minor league players for Greinke.
But if it's a
disappointment.
Yeah, if you spend that much money, if you're taking all that, losing, willing to lose good prospects, wouldn't it be a failure the fact that they're not winning the division?
The division doesn't really matter because, the last two World Series winners were out of the wild card in the Giants and the Cardinals. The thing is that now the wild card is a tougher way to go because, even if you win the wild card, the one game play-in, you still have to go. Even though you play it at home, the first two games are at home, and then you have to go on the road for three. It's a tough goal this time. So, they put themselves in a tough situation. Hopefully, they can make a run within the last 2 months, and they can go and win the division because that's what you want to do. You do not want to go in as a wild card this year for the first time. In the past years, you would have been okay with that.
What happened with Dempster? I could have swore the Dodgers had him.
Yeah, they did, and they were working on it. Coletti said that they've been working on that deal for 2 months, and you know the Cubs, they kept Theo Epstein, the GM. He kept asking for a prospect, you know, their big prospect, Zach Lee, their pitcher who they drafted number one a couple of years ago from LSU. And they said, you know what, we're not going to give up our farm system, our top guy for a guy we're only going to have for 2 months, you know. So, and then he told them, you know what, if you want, we can give you something else. We can give you one of our players.
I think the Dodgers have proven one point up to this point. At this part of the season, they made a statement. We're going to compete. We're going to be aggressive. If we want a player, we're going to go after him. The money's there now. Before it wasn't, and it's a great thing for Dodger fans who were suffering for almost a decade at the fact that they couldn't go out big name, they couldn't go after big names because they didn't have the money. And now money's not a factor. And we see that after they claimed the waiver for Cliff Lee.
Right. And that was big. I mean, that just tells you that they're gonna do whatever they can to improve this team. And, you know, Cliff Lee he's not gonna come here. They put in the waiver. The way it works is that, you know, teams put players on waivers, and then each team has a way of being able to claim them, and then you have a couple of days to be able to claim.
Let me interrupt you for a little bit. All right. So we have our weekly expert on NBA and football. Now it's the right guy. I confused them with the guy who's asking about UFC and Honduras. That was...
Right. Yeah.
That kind of dazzled me for a second.
All right.
Mr. Ruben Arias.
Yes, I'm back. Sorry, guys.
Great.
are we talking about soccer again?
No. We moved on from that.
No.
It seems to be a guy who... This is the same UFC guy.
Yes. What do you guys
want? I want to talk about the equestrian on the Olympics. You guys are a sports show, right?
Yes.
You guys see those horses, dude? Amazing. They just jump over the little fences. All they need is a, like, little horn. And they're like, unicorn. Unicorn equestrian. That's what we need in the Olympics.
What has been your favorite sport up to this point in the Olympics?
Dude, the trampoline is the best.
The trampoline? Dong Dong?
Yeah, trampoline, dude. That's a sport.
Yeah, it is. I agree with you. Dong Dong won the gold for China.
Oh, I don't know who that is. I don't sound like a Chinese name.
Wait, how do you not cool, know man. Who it is? You don't know Dong Dong and you like the trampoline. That makes no sense.
I'm not gay. That's why I don't watch trampoline.
All right, man. That has nothing to do with your preference. But thank you for calling, though.
Okay. My bad.
Wow. Interesting caller.
Right.
What were we talking about?
We're talking about baseball.
This guy just threw me off. That's
right.
I like that. Entertain. You want to call and talk about the trampoline, but you don't know who won the gold medal.
Right.
You don't know Dong Dong. Entertainment.
Hey, this is a first for us. So
at its finest.
Right.
Back to the Dodgers.
Right. Talking about
half,
the Dodgers.
Half a game behind.
Half of a game behind. So, you know, we have three teams in the race now with Arizona coming back
again. This is the closest division in the whole league.
Right. And, you know, it's going to go down to the wire. It's going to be a great, great 2 months now. So I'm looking forward to it.
Tell me, who has a bigger chance of making the playoffs? Angels or Dodgers?
I would say the Dodgers, just because of the fact that it's a weak... I mean, it's not a weak division, but it's an easier one to win than it would... The Angels are playing perhaps... They're going up against the best team in the American League, a team that has been to the World Series twice already. So that's what we're looking at right now. So without that, I would have gone with the Angels. They have a better team. Now, if you had asked me who has a better team, I would go with the Angels. But.
Well, they've spent more money over the years. I think we could both agree on that. But I think that the Dodgers are a team who are going to be a force to be reckoned with in the future. And not only in the future, in the present.
Right. And they are. Now with the new ownership and the fact that they're going to be able to go out and spend, it's going to be great for Dodger fans. You know, you should be, you should see more and more fans come out and to the stadium for both teams. I think LA baseball is going to draw a lot of crowds here, you know, with the Angels, you know, going down the stretch and then the Dodgers.
You're listening to www.skidrowstudios.com. If you want to call in, the number is 1-800-893-9562. Victor, let's talk a little bit about what started today. A sport that drives a lot of people crazy.
Yeah, the NFL. It's good to have the NFL back. You know, we have the Hall of Fame game, which just started about an hour ago between the Cardinals and the Saints. So we have football. The only thing that, you know, that it's a problem is the fact that they're beginning that game with replacement referees. That's not going to bode well for fans who, you know, they make a lot of big complaints about the refereeing in the league, and now having replacement players is going to have an even bigger problem for them.
Okay, before we continue, I think we finally have him, the real Ruben Arias.
Yeah, I hope so.
I hope so, because Don threw me off. Comedy.
Maybe the third is a charm.
Ruben, welcome back.
I'm here. Thank you. Good to be with you.
We just had a phony Ruben called in like twice talking about Dong Dong, but he didn't know who won the trampoline gold medal. He called in at the perfect time. We're talking NFL. The preseason officially started today with the Saints and the Cardinals facing off
in the Hall of Fame game. So what are you? Let's get right to it because we don't have that much time, Ruben. What are your thoughts about the replacement referees?
As long as they set their playbook, the best way they can do it, you know, it's they may not get all the calls right. They might miss some. They might be influenced by players. You know, it's really dicey situation. You know, they need to get down. The union needs to get the contract done. They need to get the right NFL refs in there, keep their contract, and work out a deal. You know, we'll see how it goes.
What's going to happen if they don't get the deal done? We know that most likely 99.9% are going to get it done. But in case they didn't get the deal done, what would happen?
There'd be a little chaos on the field, maybe, in the sense that they missed, they don't have instant replay, but they might just miss a few calls. You know, they haven't got the training. You know, we just throw them the book. You know, learn the penalties right now. Let's get this going. You know,
For the sake of the sport, we hope that they do get it going.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if you heard today, Victor. Andy Reid's son unfortunately passed away. We still don't know how. It's very unfortunate, and our condolences go out to his family.
Yeah, it's tough for Andy. I mean, he had two of his sons in jail a couple of seasons ago, and they struggle after that. It's been tough. I know it must be tough for him. You know, he had them working there with him. You know, he had his life back in order. His other kids are doing well. But to see that, especially, you know, I guess the only thing that you can take away from this, the fact that it happened early, you know, it didn't happen like last time when it was during the season.
Ruben.
My condolences go out to Andy Reid's family as well. And it could be a rally cry for them, just the players being there for their coach and playing for his son for the season, dedicating the season to his son, and it could really motivate them just to go out there and do it for him. You know what I mean?
The same way that it could motivate the Eagles, could it also affect the way that Andy Reid coaches?
It could a little bit, but you know, he's a good professional. It could be difficult opening day. I mean, preseason it will be too, but opening day, it could be a little emotional for him at the beginning, and you know, it might take him a little, maybe the first quarter or a few plays or so to get it back on track for, you know, to get his focus back. But it'll be emotional for him. You know, it's real tough to do that, to lose a son like that. And, you know, they could go out there and just win that first game for him and, you know, give him the ball and say, this is for your son. You know, Coach Reid, this is for you. This is for your son. That's my take on it.
Ruben, were they the favorites in that division before this? I mean, I know this might not change anything, but are they the favorites going in for you? In that division?
You know, not really. I just kind of feel that you know, they could be the second best team, or maybe the Cowboys are the dark horse there to go in that division. Now they've got their defense, that they've got Morris Claiborne signed and Brandon Carr signed. They're a dark horse, but I think you got to go with the Super Bowl champion, the Giants. They're riding a wave of but they're still riding with the
talking about the Giants.
They're still the favorite. You know, they either the defense struggled a little bit, but they got hot.
Tell us about
Victor Cruz is ready to go, and Eli Manning's.
Tell us a little bit about the chaos that is going on in the city of New York with the Jets and the Giants. Eli Manning just came out a couple days ago, actually, and said maybe he should request or suggest his backup to take his shirt off so they could have a little bit of more media coverage.
I'll let that go. You know, I think the play will dictate that because we've got a lot of people. I know that. Talk right now, pushing Sanchez and cutting under his skin. Let the shenanigans go with the Jets. You know, I think the Giants are there to do business, and I don't think Eli's going to be affected by that. I think he's just ready to go and play the season. Let the Jets worry about that.
Well, talking about the Jets, let's do a little preview on the AFC East. Since how do you see things working out there in that AFC East?
You can never count out the Patriots. They're always going to be there. You know, Tom Brady's a winner, and they made a few upgrades to their defense. And I just think they got the AFC Championship game last year, and it was a Super Bowl. They're still a favorite there. I mean, the Jets didn't have made any upgrades to show me anything yet. They're a dark horse still again. You know, if they can get Sanchez can stop throwing interceptions, and they can get their passing game going, you know. That's a ticket for them. Not the running game, not the ground and pound. They're going to have a better efficient Mark Sanchez to upend the Patriots. They're going to have to do that.
Should fans be worried? There's a lot of small injuries occurring, like always in the preseason. Should fans have a concern that this is going to affect in any way the beginning of any team season?
I think my take's on that, you know, play them a little bit of the preseason games, you know, and they're living in the practices. I know the Cowboys out here in Oxnard, I read a report that they had a lot of injuries yesterday. You know, Ratliff was out. Miles Austin, his hamstring kind of backed me up again. They're running them hard, but they're going to have to just take it easy. But just get them into the preseason games. Don't have to show too much and just let them keep them healthy and get ready for the regular season.
I kind of go off of the fact that that it doesn't matter. You know, you're always gonna have injuries. It doesn't. I mean, with the new CBA, we even had limited practice now, and people are still they're not even getting hit as much as they used to, and they're still getting injured. I mean, that's football. You're gonna get injured. You know, the only thing
as long as it's not a season-ending injury, you would say.
Yeah, and it's tough, but that's the thing that you're gonna have to go with right now is the fact that you're gonna have injuries, and you just hope you can survive the season. I mean, that's what the Giants did last year with all they just got healthy at the right time, and so I even with the lockout last year, I know people were complaining about the fact that was a reason why people were getting hurt and all that.
Following the divisions, AFC West. We still don't know. There's not a clear favorite. We have the Raiders, who are trying to make a statement for the first time in many seasons. They're trying to make the playoffs. What we also have a Denver Bronco team who is going to be very strong with Manning, and the favorite up to this point, the Chargers.
I think you can pick anybody. I don't know. Let's ask Ruben, and then we'll go off of that.
This is a toss up right there. I mean, you got to have Manning. Or Manning come in here and make it cross your line for the Broncos. You don't want to pass them as a favorite because you got to see what he has and what the whole defense all year. But they're right there with the Raiders, too. You know, they were this close to making the playoffs, and Carson Palmer is going to have to play better. He's got a full training camp ready to go. He's getting the offense really down and more connection with the receivers. And the Chargers, you can't keep waiting on them. You can't keep waiting and bringing back Mark Turner and keep waiting for them to make their push, keep making their pushes.
They've been doing that for quite a while now.
I had them in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and you just keep waiting for them. And I mean, Room is right.
They've been a disappointment.
Right. They've been a big disappointment, and you keep waiting for them. And the same, I mean, the Chiefs have everybody coming back now. You know, they're healthy. The key for them is going to be that quarterback. He's been you know, on and off since he came from the Patriots. And then, you know, the Raiders, they need to take that next step. I think that's what the fans want from them is, you know, they now they're starting a new regime without Al Davis. And so now, you know, you got your fresh start. This is what you wanted as Raider fans. And so now, you know, you wanted them to make that next step. And I, the Broncos, you know, they're going to go through a growing period with Peyton Manning.
Pretty fast. NBA, we had the U.S. beat Lithuania, but by a small margin, the closest game up to this point.
And Lithuania has given them problems. I think they're like 1-5. I mean, they've only beat them once, but I think in their last six games, they've been within single digits of the U.S.
99-94, close match. Everybody was shocked because the U.S. just came from beating Nigeria by 83 points.
Ryan.
That's right.
Go ahead, Ruben.
I think they didn't take them really completely lightly, but Jake Spurs, maybe their defense, and there's not Dwight Howard there in the middle, who's Tango used to rest. There's no gaping hole in that defense. They did bring their defense pressure. Actually, they did it to Nigeria. They did it to France. They just got to bring it. They got to bring that defense intensity that they can do. They've got all defensive players, like LeBron, Kobe.
We have a little bit of time left, Ruben. This is one of the dilemmas going on right now in the Olympics for basketball. The winner of Spain,
right,
and Argentina.
No. The way it's going to work is the dilemma is the fact that Brazil and Spain play on Monday, and they play. They're the last game, and so the winner gets to play the U.S. and then the loser, you know, gets to play Russia. So. They're trying to figure out what's going to happen. Do you, what do you think? Should they, so one of the teams try to lose? Or, I mean, are we looking at a fiasco like we had with Batman?
Batman.
Right. I don't
have every point
saying, should they tank it, Brazil or Spain?
Would any team tank it? That's the question.
Do you think?
If you're Argentina, if you're Spain, are you going to tank the game?
Or are you going to? You gotta go out there and win the game, you know. You gotta get the middle round, and you gotta get. I know it's a tough draw at that stage, but you gotta have confidence that to go against them. You can't take the game. You know they're gonna see it. The world's gonna see it. You just gotta go and win your game, get the middle round, and bring your best effort.
After Lithuania. Are the U.S. still going to win the gold medal? Do you have any doubts?
I don't have any doubts. The thing is that, you know, it'll be great if they can face Russia because it's the 40th anniversary of that controversy.
That'll be pretty amazing. And Russia is leading the other group.
Right. They're undefeated
as well, four games.
So
that would be a great match, but I think everybody wants to see a rematch between Spain and the U.S. Ruben, thank you for calling.
I agree. USA, they're going to win the gold medal. They're going to be Argentina, Spain in the final. That's how I see it.
Ruben, we'll talk to you next week, buddy. Victor, it's a pleasure seeing you again.
Yeah, it's a great second show.
See you next Sunday.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise. Playing in the street. Gonna be a big man someday.
Immigration. There's too many people in this fucking country. But I think if you're going to focus on keeping people out, you're going to focus on the people who don't contribute to society. That's a no-brainer, and there's a specific group of over 4 million people that come into this country every year and don't contribute a fucking thing, and everyone knows who I'm talking about, but no one wants to say it because it's politically incorrect. But fuck that. You know who I'm talking about? Officer Bob. You know who I'm talking about? Who am I talking? Babies! That's who I'm talking about! Babies!